Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Before you hit like or share or retweet on the latest news story or medical research, have you checked to see if what you're endorsing is solid research? Good resources are vital each and every day, but figuring out what those are is the real challenge. Mary Francis is the Reference and Instruction Librarian at Dakota State University in Madison. She's joining us today to assist in making these decisions. Mary, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Lori.
So I reveal my bias right away in that I think all librarians are fabulous human beings who should be in charge of the world. So if I gush at some point, it's because I've had lots of experience being helped out by librarians. So we'll just start there on a friendly tone. Tell me a little bit about how you got into this line of work. What exactly is a reference librarian, or and what drew you to this kind of profession?
I think what really brought me to librarianship is, as you kind of noted, the just information. I love information. I love learning new things. So that's kind of my passion, is always learning something new. And libraries are great places to do that. And so I not only, you know, get to learn things through just my own interest, but every time I help someone, I learn a bit something more about their field, their passion, what they're interested in as well. So, you know, working at DSU, I have students come in who may be interested in computer science or game design, and so as a reference librarian, I'm helping them find information on their research, on their passion. So I'm able to then get a little bit from them, as well as helping them learn where and how to find the best information for their needs.
Yeah. And the wonderful thing about this that maybe some of us have forgotten as we have fallen deeper into, you know, Facebook or other social media platforms and the internet and content, which is really curated for us, is that that curation is taking place based on an algorithm that is very different from the kind of information sorting and decisions that a librarian would make. So just before we get into some of the details of, you know, what we should be looking for and in our sources and where we can go awry, do you notice, you know, when you're online and when you're in social media areas and talking to your friends, that just the overwhelm, the avalanche of really bad information that's out there, and how does that sort of make you feel as you watch it flow in again day after day?
Well, and related to that, as you're talking about with finding all of your things online, is you start getting into that little bubble. So my bubble of my Facebook friends, which are, you know, probably over 50% of other librarians from, you know, across the state, across the world. So we have our own little bubble of stories that we find that are interest to libraries. To librarians. So we have that little bubble. You know, I'm sure as, you know, a news person, your feed is just full of news stories. Same thing for, you know, artists or, you know, whatever you are. If you're a plumber, you have that information that one is dealing with your profession that you may find out, but also the information that you're interested in. So just the anagrams, as you noted. So I've, you know, searched for going on a trip. I'm then going to get ads. I'm going to get stories about that. So you just start getting a feedback of the things that you've liked, that you've read before, that just keeps coming to you. And so you lose some of that perspective of that there's other ideas, that there's other things out there, because you just see again and again the same things coming up in your feed.
Yeah. Another thing that I think people fall into a little too easily is this idea of false equivalency. When we try to think about balance, I have so many people talking about, well, I look at this news source and this source, and then I feel like I have balance. And sometimes I want to say, you got nothing accurate, though. You got opinions on one side or the other, but you didn't get any facts. So let's talk a little bit about finding accurate resources. Where do you want to begin, especially in the time of COVID-19, when everybody is searching for medical information and trying to sort through the advice of, you know, different policymakers or politicians, and then combine that with doctors? How do we sort through medical journals and stories about healthcare?
So a couple things I want to bring up. One, when you're searching for medical advice or even any information, is looking at who is responsible for it. So who is the author? What are their qualifications? We all have different qualifications in different areas, and so depending on what you need, in this case, we need medical information. So my first stop to figure out, you know, what actual medical advice, I'm not going to go to just a regular person who has an opinion or even, you know, a policymaker. I want to find out from the professionals what doctors are saying, what people from, you know, the CDC, these health organizations have to say on the matter. So looking first at really who is responsible, who's putting this information out, what expertise they bring to the situation. And even looking in more in depth, you know, this person's a doctor. That's wonderful. But if they're, you know, a podiatrist, that's not going to help me in my research on, you know, the COVID-19 because they're not going to have that experience. So you have to really look in depth to what someone's qualifications are. Another thing to note that I think we're struggling with now, especially with COVID related to medical research, is the fact that it takes time. We're used to a lot of snap, you know, what's going on right now. But for real medical research, and if you just actually think about, you know, how long has cancer research been going on? It's been, you know, lifetimes that people have been researching that, trying to discover cures and ways to help people with that those types of diseases. So same thing here with COVID is we're looking for that, you know, magic bullet, someone who knows an answer right now. So we're not taking the time to recognize that actual medical studies take time to go through. And so we see headlines that this is the next big thing that's going to solve the problem. But it does take, just as I've been saying, time for these things to come through.
Yeah, and as a journalist, I love journalism, and I don't want to bash on any other journalists, but some of the headlines that you see as journalists sort of, you know, fall into that, what is the latest, what can I, just looking at the headlines, you just shake your head and say that's not really very useful. and that's part of the problem is that you see so many headlines, doctors say, this, or researchers discover this, or this happens, that if you just scan through, if you just scroll through 14 headlines, you might give yourself an impression that something is true. You really have to open up some of those stories and find out what news organization did that and who they talked to as well. Explain to folks the concept of, you know, as this science is emerging so quickly, peer-reviewed and pre-publication, and some of these nuances of stories that are usually, you know, doctors are communicating with each other, and they're maybe not ready for all of us to sort of take to heart yet. Talk about peer-reviewed and pre-publication, some of those distinctions, if you would, please, Mary.
Sure. So peer review is basically a process where professionals have to kind of do a quality check on the materials that they submit out there. So these are usually scholarly works. So I did research, someone else did research, and they want to share it with other people in the profession. And so all professions kind of have those scholarly academic journals that they put out. And so in order to kind of make sure that there's quality in the work, they submit it, and the paper will then go out to various peer reviewers. And these are other individuals in that field who have expertise. They've likely done research, and they've been selected to be peer reviewers. Just because you're, you know, new in a field doesn't mean you can review things, but these are people who have standing. And so what they will do is they will read the article, they'll read the research, and then they decide if it's quality or not. So they'll say, yes, this is an excellent research article. It should be put out there. They may say, we need some edits here. There are things that are a little wrong. We can tweak it. This can be a better research article. Or they can say, no, that this is bad. And so for the things to be published, they've gone through that cycle of people in the field, other professionals saying, yes, this is quality work. And so some fields have to try to expand kind of their reach and to share what they're finding. They've done preprints. And basically what it is, it's I've submitted this research article. It's out there for my other peers to look at, but it's not actually gone through that whole process. It hasn't been, you know, had that critique yet. It's still before anyone has said, yes, this should be fixed, this is wrong. And so now that those are out there, it typically, in some field, it's not going to cause a big problem. You know, the physicist and their theoretical physicist works. The general public's not really pulling that apart and finding things. But with, in this case, the COVID issues, people are doing, you know, their preliminary research and putting it out there. And so then it's findable by everyone. And either, you know, the news organizations or just general public has looked at those and they are able to say, well, this is what research is saying. But it hasn't actually been officially established yet, that it hasn't had that quality check to go through. But because it's out there, people say, I read it, you know, it's true.
Right. And then do you find there are just outright predatory practices or people who are putting things out there for purposes that are nefarious in one way or another?
Yeah, and that goes in all different areas where you can take part of a story or part of what something is said, part of a real research, and you kind of twist it to your own ends. And this kind of goes back a little bit to some of those headlines, as we were saying. And you see this a lot, I think, in health because people are always looking for the magic bullet. So not quite COVID-related and a little more lighthearted, you know. Not long ago, there was articles talking about how chocolate and red wine are going to make you younger and fight wrinkles. So all the headlines sounded great, but when you looked in, it was an actual study where they had used chemicals that are related to the naturally found chemicals in chocolate and red wine, and then they applied it to a cell within a culture, it made the cells appear younger. So it's kind of an extrapolation for the headline to then say that, you know, chocolate and red wine are going to have you look younger and, you know, live forever and all of that. But you have to look, you know, in depth on the things. And in this case, it wasn't nefarious reasons. They were trying to get people to click on the story and read it. Mm-hmm. But there is where you take those little bits and you make it a little bit more nefarious as well.
Yeah, sometimes they're trying to start a conversation. But this goes into this whole back and forth, and I know I've heard this a lot, and maybe you have too, where people get frustrated and then they think nobody knows anything. And they'll say, well, it's a statistic. You can make it look like however you want. It's, you know, it's healthcare. Tomorrow they're going to tell us egg whites are good, and the next day they're going to tell us it's bad. You know, who can follow it all? Throw your hands up in the air. And give up. It adds to this kind of noise and confusion to where most people feel like, wow, it would be a part-time job to sort through these details. Do you notice that too, that people get overwhelmed? And if so, how do you keep from getting overwhelmed as someone who works in information every day?
Yeah, I do see that, especially when people, they'll just say, well, there's no right answer. There's no real, you know, it's going to be wrong, just as you said. So while I think a science and, you know, medicine, as you said, especially gets this kind of feeling that, you know, they're going to change their mind, well, they're working on what they know the best right now. And sure, we learn different things and you advance. And I feel that's in every field. And so if people just kind of apply that in other ways, you know, the state of electricians, you know, we used to have different ways that we put in wire. We had all these different things. But as technology has changed, as we learn new things, we learn different ways to do this. So it's not just, you know, doctors who do this. We learn different ways to build things. We learn different ways on how to do all sorts of things within our daily lives. So we have to deal with what's in front of us right now. And the shift, it's not that day one, you know, egg whites are bad. Day two, egg whites are, you know, good. There's a gradual shift there. So you have to really look at and understand what's current, what's going on. And, yes, understanding that things may change, but you work on what you have the best information before you.
Yeah. Mary Frances, any other tips before we wrap things up that you think people should really be paying attention? You know, who is something from? What are their intentions there? What's the source? What else?
I think one big thing when you're using information is to know that it's all different. There's not... This blog is not the same as this newspaper article, is not the same as this research study. So understand that all of the information out there is different, and why it was put out, who it was put out for, the purpose that it has. There's a lot of different things to consider beyond just saying, well, I saw this, I read this thing, it must be true. But know behind it what type of source it is, what the purpose is, who the authors are talking to, why they're talking, all those things are important.
When in doubt, ask a librarian. Thank you.
That's right.
Mary Frances from Dakota State University, we appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks for having me.